Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
"'Twas a cold winter's night, and without any heat, I wore Bombas socks so they'd warm up my feet. Yay, my feet cried, these socks are the best. So cushy and warm, I can finally rest. But don't rest, I said, there's more if you please. Bombas also makes underwear, slippers, and tees. And for each thing you purchase, they donate one new to someone who needs it, so they're cozy too. Everybody deserves to feel good all the time, so gift Bombas this season." That's the end of this rhyme. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
Bears fans, this is Take the North.
What's the reason, Duck? It's here.
With your hosts.
All these guys.
Dan Wiederer.
The Bears don't have the readiness to go all in a championship or bust year.
And Mark Grody.
There's a certain amount of urgency to this season for the Bears. And I think the biggest urgency is make sure you have a quarterback in Caleb Williams.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome into the Take the North podcast along with Dan Wiederer of The Athletic. I am Mark Grody of Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We are presenting from Hallis Hall. As you can see, I'm in the media room right now where we do all the majority of the Q&A. So I've got a Bears background. And Dan, you have a very dramatic background. Yes. In the spot that you have, which I'm guessing you're in the atrium right now. Like at the top.
I'm downstairs. I'm downstairs here. Yeah. And this is a beautiful video board behind me, and it's going to give some people some dizzy spells that are watching on YouTube. But hey, look, this is what we do at Take the North. We find new backgrounds. We find new things to talk about. And look at this little touchscreen. I can play around with that later while you're off on a soliloquy on something here.
I love it. Yeah. So if you're watching on video, if you go check it out on video later, you can see all the colorful bearsness that is happening right now in the Take the North podcast. We can guarantee you that. So big week out here at the hall. Coordinators speaking on the day in which we are recording here. It's Minnesota week. We know what happened the last time the Bears played the Vikings. That was in week one, the lid lifter for the Chicago Bears at Soldier Field, the 27-24 loss, where everything was going right. It was 17-6. Nation Wright was pick-sixing. And then
the lead vanished in the fourth quarter. So the Bears went to 0-1. Not a good start to their season, but much, Dan, has changed since that point. And I would say, considering how the season started, things have changed to a significant amount for these Chicago Bears.
Yeah, it honestly feels like a different lifetime, right? Like it was just a totally different stage that the Bears were on in week one, and how far they've come since those first two division losses to open the season. I think they obviously have renewed confidence in who they are and where they're headed. The Vikings, by contrast, seem to be kind of trying to figure some things out, particularly with the development of a young quarterback, which we'll talk about a little bit throughout this episode. But this is a fascinating game here at this point in the season, and it's going to be really interesting to see what the Bears bring to the table here in a tough place to play.
As far as talking to the coordinators today, one of the things that I found to be interesting, I'm looking forward to hearing some of your impressions on what Dennis Allen and Declan Doyle and Richard Hightower, the special teams coach, had to say. But of course, Dennis Allen has his hands full with the weapons which exist on the Minnesota Vikings. Obviously, J.J. McCarthy, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, T.J. Hockenson, they're all here to hurt you, all of those guys. But I actually thought one of the more interesting parts of the segment with Dennis Allen today, we'll talk about all that stuff that I just brought up, but Dennis Allen was asked a question about how he would handle going up against Caleb Williams and his impressions of Caleb Williams. And we get two things here, Dan. One thing is you and I have been challenging each other to, at some point in time, Dennis Allen needs to smile a little bit and enjoy himself a little bit at the lectern. He's been fine. I mean, like giving the information, but you want him to loosen up a little bit. And he did on this question. I think it was Larry Mayer who asked about it. So I left the question on there. It's a fun response and a serious response. And it kind of lets you in a little bit on what defensive coordinators might be going through right now when they go up against Caleb Williams. So let's start the show here today by listening to this about a minute cut from Dennis Allen with the question attached to it.
What do you think when you see Caleb Williams get out of some of those incredible predicaments that it looks like he's dead to rights, and all of a sudden he finds a way to get out?
Well, am I on the Bear sideline rooting for him, or am I trying to defend him? Because if I'm trying to defend him, I'm like, damn.
No, in your opinion, watching him, like, what do you think of him?
Look, I think he's grown tremendously from where he was, you know, in the spring and in training camp. Where he's at now, I think you see in the field, you know, much better. And he's always had that athleticism. He's always had that ability to get himself out of trouble. And so, you know, when you see that happen, you know, first thing I'm thinking is I'm glad he's on our side. You know, because it's a pain when you see, you know, guys that can create with their feet. It's just, you know, it creates a lot of problems for the defense. You know, in terms of how you want to rush them, you know, if you want to play, do you want to play man coverage in the back end? Well, okay, if you play man coverage in the back end and he escapes, there's a lot of backs turned to him. You know, you want to rush four and play zone coverage behind it. Well, they got five and six people blocking versus four, creates escape lanes for the quarterback. So, I think the mobile quarterback is a huge challenge defensively.
I love that, Dan, just because that's what 31 defensive coordinators are saying when they look at Caleb Williams or look at any running quarterback. But I thought that was pretty informative. And if you could take a second to stop playing with your background, I'd love to hear you.
I figured I had a minute to try to do some touchscreen games back there, but they don't have the touchscreen games available on this current iteration of this video board. I was appreciative that Dennis Allen went there because – as hyper-focused as he can be with his talking points at the lectern, you half expected him to say, oh, look, I'm just focused. I got enough of a problem trying to figure out what's going on with Justin Jefferson than to worry about analyzing our offense. I'll leave that to Ben. And he went there, and he gave you feels about those backs in particular. And so, book location, the number of different ways and beat you. And that's happening inside this building. It's happening in other buildings around the league. And you just hope that this growth continues to show itself in a way where these headaches that Caleb has a chance to present to other teams continue to present themselves.
What stood out to you from, I know you weren't in the room for the entire Declan Doyle press conference because you were out talking to defensive assistants in the hallway in the atrium here at Hallis Hall, which is offered to us every week. We all got to make our choices. But in the time that you were in here, anything stand out to you from Declan Doyle?
Well, it's such a challenge, right? Like you want to be in multiple places at once. It's a less than ideal setup. There goes Grody. He just disappeared from the screen. He'll be back in a minute, I'm sure. I feel like there's a situation here where you're trying to learn as much as you can about this football team. And Grody, it's my understanding that you and I asked very similar questions to Declan Doyle. While I was in the hallway, you led off the Declan Doyle session with a question, and then I offered a slight variation on that. And to Declan's credit, he gave us two different answers, but the gist of it was, how do you kind of find this sweet spot in coaching a young quarterback to play quickly without playing too quickly? Because one of the things that we've heard several times throughout this week is that, Caleb sometimes is getting through his reads too quick before the reads are out of their breaks or open or there's a chance to read them properly. And so now you have this crazy challenge where you've got a young quarterback trying to find himself and it's like, hey, kid, let's speed it up, but not that fast. That's a little too fast. You got to slow it down a little bit. And so working through that, I felt like Declan gave us some good insight into the coaching process of that.
Yeah, and it's eyes and feet and matching them up and coordinating that part, and that's something that they've been talking about since day one. So we know that's still a work in progress. And I think, like, it's difficult what Caleb Williams is trying to pull off because he's accomplished one thing, and that is to lessen the number of sacks. He has been terrific at that.
Yeah,
part of it has been getting out of there, getting rid of the ball, running with the ball, throwing the ball away, running out of bounds, whatever the case may be. But that also occasionally causes the complication of him ejecting from the pocket too quickly, what we're talking about. So in some ways, I feel the struggle for him in that regard, because it's got to be a really difficult thing to do. You're paying Peter to pay Paul, or how does that go? Like, you're doing one thing, but the other thing is still, it's still affecting the other thing, and that is not seeing the receivers down the field if he's ejecting from the pocket. So I look at this as not a way to criticize Caleb Williams in this particular case, but that they're all admitting, and Caleb said it yesterday, and I don't remember if Declan Doyle said it, but that's the next level. That's the next step. And I'm okay looking at Caleb Williams in that regard. Okay, he has eluded sacks. Now the next part is, can you hang in there that extra tick longer to potentially make a big play down the field? That's not easy, but it's attainable.
I think the phrase you were looking for, by the way, is, if Peter fools Paul, shame on Peter. But if Peter fools Paul twice, don't mess with Texas. Right? Like, I think that's how that saying goes. But I think what you're describing there is quarterback play in the NFL. And without question, the one thing from my time covering this league that my appreciation has grown exponentially is the understanding of how difficult this position is.
Yeah,
because once you've mastered one line on the checklist, the next level is even harder, and it's more involved, and it's more sophisticated, and it's more detailed. And you're feeling that now there's a lot of applause for, like, good job, Caleb's, progressing. And then you see the next step and you're like, oh God, this is even harder. And it's going to be that way for the duration of his time here. And so that's it. That's why it's such a mentally fatiguing position, why it's such a demanding position. And this is a coaching staff here that I think has been awesome for us in providing sort of the cheat sheet and how to evaluate the quarterback through their eyes, right? The things that they're focusing on at each stage. And this is one of them here, right? Like, there's the combination of the two things you talked about, the sack avoidance and ejecting the pocket. And we'll get into a little bit of that in a bit. And then there's that whole concept of just being capable of being on time. And you mentioned the marriage between feet and eyes, and Declan, I thought today, said two other things that struck me, was just this idea that you have to treat every rep as game-like in order to create the habit that you need to be in. And then he just said that you also have to be open to the criticism and the correction process, which seems to be going well here, to be honest, inside of Hallis Hall. And I think that's really predicated on crystal clear communication. This coaching staff's been great at it. And Caleb, here's what they're saying. Now it's about applying it in real time against really, really angry defenses that are coming to make your life miserable.
No doubt, no doubt. And from robbing Peter to pay Paul, I'm having a hell of a day with words today, because when the special teams coordinator Richard Hightower was up there, I brought up a comment to last week, of course, the great Sean Landetta of the Giants. I'll just call him that for our purposes. I can't remember the punter's name off the top of my head. He shanked a punt last week. I asked the question to Mr. Hightower about muffing a punt, and he's like, wait, what are you talking about? We didn't muff a punt. And I was like, oh God, am I off a week?
Right.
No, I used the wrong word. Shank. Muff. I had muff on my mind, I guess, Dan. What can I say?
That doesn't surprise me. The punter's name is Jamie Gillen Grody, and he's the New York Giants punter, and he did indeed.
You're filthy, by the way. I don't know what you're talking about.
He did shank that. That was tough. He did shank that punt in the fourth quarter the other day. I was able to ride to your rescue there with Richard Hightower and say,
you
I think
did.
The shanked punt. And it was good TTN teamwork there.
It really was. Thank you.
It ended up creating a nice little discussion there, because I felt like there was something about that play, which is the reason you asked about it to begin with, that was super notable for the Bears. One, because the pressure that they had created all day on special teams caused the punter potentially to be a little bit jittery in that moment, even though there wasn't a lot of heat on that particular punt. It was also during a stretch where Caleb had led a fourth quarter touchdown drive and the defense had responded with a three and out, and they had gotten off the field with a sack by CJ Gardner-Johnson. And you were there, Grody. You felt that swell of momentum inside Soldier Field. And then the punter puts one out of bounds, and now you've got a short field to go lead the game winning drive. And it's just that it's that complimentary football that everyone's seeking to get it in such a game defining moment, I think, was huge. And so it was cool to hear HT kind of acknowledge that swell of momentum and what it signifies in terms of this team's belief late in close games.
Yeah, and in all seriousness too, like we did not make a big deal out of it, but the special teams needed a big week, and Richard Hightower, or just a week where you didn't make mistake after mistake. They needed a normal week, as we like to say here on the Take the North podcast. So I thought that was important for Richard Hightower and for the special teams as well. So
no doubt. Let's get football back on your mind here.
Okay. How about I do this? Why don't we do our Take the North game spotlight?
All right.
And Daniel, the Chicago Bears, talk to me, Dan. Let's talk about this, because everybody's talking about this. The Bears are what? They're 6-3. The Bears are what? In first place. The Bears are what? In the playoff picture right now. How seriously do we take the Bears as a playoff team through 9 games, knowing what we know, seeing what we have seen from this football team this year?
I had a little fun at The Athletic this week, and I wrote a little column for Thursday morning asking 50 questions that are facing the Bears the rest of the regular season.
There's no answers.
No answers provided, Grody. Just questions.
Wow.
Just questions. So you can go through there. And the very first question is are the Bears a viable playoff team? And I think it is the most important question on our radar right now because of what you just mentioned. You've got a.
By the way, Dan, I just want you to know the great Tom Waddle is walking in right now.
Oh, interrupting. Come on into the screen at least, Tom.
Do you have a question for us?
Yeah, why aren't you?
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, that's such a great question. Why aren't you as good in quarters 1-3 as you are in quarter number 4? The answer is he's just so good in the fourth quarter that you can't possibly have the energy to be that good in the first 3. Yeah. You talking about me?
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Here at Take the North, we're good in all four quarters. That's been a staple of ours for a while. We play a complete football game. We were back in the playoff discussion. The first question that I asked among my 50 questions was,
you're not going to go through all 50 here, by the way, are you? I don't have time for that. I got to get in the locker
room. Just the first one. If you shut up, I'll be able to get this question. Are they a viable playoff team? You mentioned it. They're inside the frame right now. You look at these playoff projection graphics. The Bears, if the playoffs started today, would be the sixth seed. They'd be a wild card. They would be headed to Detroit to play the Lions in a mid-January game. You also look at The Athletic, courtesy of the New York Times, has now its own playoff simulator model. The playoff stimulator, as you might call it, Grody, and right now that stimulator tells us that the Bears have a 33% chance of reaching the playoffs. So even though they're currently inside that playoff picture, they are not favored to stay there through the end of the regular season. The schedule is going to get tougher. Other teams are going to be able to play a lighter portion of the schedule, and you've got some teams lurking there in the NFC. And so, look, like, I think there's a lot ahead, and I think the fun of this is that the Bears are firmly in this mix. They are not chasing this sort of flimsy, hollow, in-the-hunt designation. They are seeking a viable, realistic playoff berth. And when I reflect, and I think back a year ago, this week, when we're sitting in here detailing the firing of Shane Waldron and getting introduced to new offensive coordinator Thomas Brown and dealing with a bottom falling out of a season after the Bears absolutely crapped themselves in a home loss to the New England Patriots. You see all that and you go, boy, isn't it fun to be having this conversation now about playoff aspirations and whether they come to fruition or not. Here we are. You take it away from there.
Yeah, I mean, it's more enjoyable from every perspective. It's more enjoyable to be a reporter. It's more enjoyable to ask questions. It's more enjoyable to be in the locker room. And I certainly think it's more enjoyable for the people that are listening to this podcast. And everybody wants to know what the scoop is when things are going bad and there's gossip. And of course, we'll bring all of that. But how about this new era, or at least what it is right now? Winning is a blast. And honestly, I've had moments, Dan, where I've been in the locker room or been in this interview room, and just I realize everything, the feel is just different. You don't have to have that. I think there's like an anxiety that goes with at a losing team for all parts, for every single part of a building in a National Football League facility.
There's no question about it. And what it does here now is it creates games with significance, right? And you walk into Minnesota on Sunday with a game that means a ton to your season. I mentioned that playoff simulator, and we ran the model yesterday. If the Bears win this football game, their chances of reaching the postseason go up to 49%. If they lose, it plummets to 24%. It gives you a little bit of a sense of what's going to be on the line with each of these weeks as they try to find their way across the finish line of this regular season, still inside that playoff frame. And so it should be a fascinating game, again, against the Vikings team that is beatable, but certainly not a pushover. And it's, you know, like we've talked about the Bears' strength of victory data, and it's 31st in the league. They really have not beaten anybody, to be honest with you. They've only played one team that's inside the current playoff frame. It's the Detroit Lions, who beat them by 31 points in week two in Detroit. And so this is a good test Sunday, and it's a good test that has playoff ramifications. We're not always talking about that at this stage of November. Great place to be.
Yeah, and we'll do our picks at the end, so we'll let you know exactly what we're thinking about Bears versus Vikings here in just a few minutes. But yeah, I mean, I love the fact that the next four games, even if you don't have a great record in them, they will tell you how good you are. Obviously, the game at Minnesota Sunday, home against Pittsburgh, at Philadelphia, at Green Bay. So, right, Dan? I mean, we're going to know.
It's fun, man. Like, it's fun. You look at that stretch and you're like, these are interesting games. Now Waddle's throwing paper towels down here from the bathroom. He's going to get sent to the principal's office. This one just came flying at him. He's not even going to clean it up either. That's the sad part about the whole thing. But yeah, this is a weekend, right, where you've got a showcase stage to try to establish yourself as a team trustworthy enough to play more meaningful football beyond this, and we'll see how they respond.
Dan is about to get hot, ladies and gentlemen, as we now move into our three things to watch featuring our guy, our leader, our founding father, Dan Wiederer.
At least get in on the camera here for a second. You just got to get your face in the camera for a second. It is Grody. See, like, so this is our third Tom Waddle disruption on this same episode.
Hey, anytime a former Bear wants to interrupt our podcast, we have time for it. Trust me, especially Tom Waddle.
So he is, he's going to be listening to this, I'm sure, to get some fodder for his various segments that he's got to do. The three things to watch for me start Sunday with the Vikings quarterback, J.J. McCarthy. It is fascinating to be on the other side of this, Grody, where you've got a organization that's trying to bring along its young quarterback and starting to feel the impatience of that process. This fan base has not had to live through the quarterback development process very often. They've had Kirk Cousins, they've had Sam Darnold, they've had Case Keenum. You're like, it hasn't been this young rookie stuff. You look at sort of their last three high profile rookies that they drafted and tried to develop. You had a couple of their careers ended by very serious injuries with Dante Culpepper and Teddy Bridgewater, not ended but diverted, obviously. And then Christian Ponder, who I was there when he was a rookie. They don't remember what this is like to go through this. And so there's this impatience growing with J.J. McCarthy, who, by the way, was drafted 1 hour after Caleb Williams in the first round of the 2024 draft. And yet we go to the stadium on Sunday and Caleb's getting ready to make start 26 and J.J.'s making start 5, right? Like, and so you're like, man, they're growing impatience with the guy who's only played 4 NFL games right now. Like, buckle in, folks. Like, I don't think you know what you signed up for. So I think the Bears have an opportunity here to win this football game by making J.J. McCarthy very uncomfortable. I think we'll get into a little bit more of this in our best bet segment. But the takeaway machine that the Bears have had rolling all season long has a chance to get a quarterback who's turned it over 7 times already this year. And so you want to get a couple more on Sunday.
Yeah. And look, I mean, the Bears did a terrific job on J.J. McCarthy for 3 quarters in the first game at Soldier Field. I mean, they looked dominant. They were making him look bad, but he scores 3 times in the fourth quarter, including 1 on the ground. He was showing all the skills that he has. And I know it's been bumpy and injured since.
He woke up on Wednesday of that week as the NFC Offensive Player of the Week.
He did for his fourth quarter. And it's, you know, life's not fair because they dominated him for the first 3 quarters, like I said. And in the last game where Baltimore beats Minnesota 27-19, they're playing from behind. So he threw 42 times, 20 of 42, 248, a touchdown, but 2 interceptions as well. So this is where the critiques come from. Even the win at Detroit, and folks, the Vikings did win at Detroit. Keep that in mind, and I will too when we get to our picks. But McCarthy was just 14 of 25, 143, 2 TDs and a pick. You're right, man. I know we got to get to your number 2 point, but it's interesting to see the angst existing with a rookie quarterback somewhere else because we went through it all last year and are still going through it, and nobody knows how to handle patience. I'm still learning how to handle being patient with somebody like Caleb Williams, and I'm sure it's the same deal with J.J. McCarthy.
Look, like this is all sort of contextualized by the fact that they had Sam Darnold playing at a super high level last year. He's now gone on to Seattle and turned the Seahawks into a legitimate Super Bowl contender, or at least helped put them in that position. And Daniel Jones, who was in the building late last year for the Vikings, is now in Indianapolis doing similar things. And so that I think creates a little bit of context to the impatience that's there in Minnesota. But anyway, we're gonna shift the focus at number 2 to the Bears quarterback, and it's what we talked about a little bit earlier. We've got some audio here from Ben Johnson talking about Caleb Williams' sack avoidance. I think you know some of the numbers right now. He has reduced his sack total. At this time last year, I believe it was 38 at this time last year. It's at 14 now. The sack rate a year ago as a rookie was at 10.9%. Now I believe it's at 4.8%, a huge drop. And so you've got a quarterback who has understood instinctually and, you know, just with the way that the offense is set up on how to avoid sacks. He's done a good job avoiding sacks against the Brian Flores-led defense. And so there's a lot playing into this matchup Sunday against the Vikings. But Ben was asked on Wednesday, I believe it was.
Yes.
So to just talk about Caleb's ability to reduce that sack total, here's what the head coach had to say.
You mentioned the other day that Caleb has done a good job navigating those situations. Like, what, from week one to now, how has he gotten better at keeping himself out of those situations, whether it's holding on to the ball too, getting rid of the ball quicker, not holding on to it as long? Are you seeing something that's helping him help himself when he's under pressure?
Shoot, I don't think so. I don't know. I think he's getting more confidence with the guys up front. The more he's out there, the more he sees it on tape. There's a few chances in there too that we stay in there just a tick longer and we deliver that football even when the house is burning down. And, there's a couple last week that we felt that way. There's a couple of the week before that way as well. So when we talk about it with him, it's, you don't want to take away that natural instinct that he has, but yet there's a little bit of, man, if we stay in here, I think this is, unlocks even more of your game, and we'll have some more explosive plays potentially. And so we're working through that, and I think he's right on track with where we had hoped we would see him at midseason right now.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, man, the fine line, Dan, the fine line is what we're talking about at the beginning, right? Like, hey, love what you're doing, but stay in there, tick longer, man, and see what kind of damage you can do.
Even when the house is burning down, right?
Talking like head, baby.
It's not like it ain't burned down yet. Stay in there a tick longer. Make sure you get the cat and the dog out of there and then find a way to make a play down the field. So that'll be worth watching as Caleb goes into Minnesota against a defense that's really difficult to play against. And we're going to get more into that
good.
In number three here. I wrote this up in our rundown and email, and I called it Bobby Fischer versus Donald Byrne. And I said it's a reference so obscure that not even I know what it means, but I'm of the understanding. Thanks to Gemini and the AI department on my Google machine.
Okay.
That this was one of the more famous chess matches that Grand Chess Master Bobby Fischer played against Donald Byrne at some point as a chess prodigy. I'm equating this to Ben Johnson versus Brian Flores, just like we did in week one. And there's a game that goes on here, and it's a different game than a lot of games that are played because both of these guys pride themselves on morphing. You've heard that word said a lot by Ben Johnson since he got here. What he's talking about is the ability to change who you are week to week based on who you're playing and what you want to get done. And it makes preparation for the opponent so difficult when you're able to do that. Well, the Bears are trying to do that offensively. The Vikings do so successfully defensively. And so now you've got this whole like guessing game on like, okay, we know who they are, but are they going to be who they are when we play them? Or are they going to change into something else? And how do we plan for that? The first meeting, Grody, if you recall, the Bears were anticipating a lot of pressure and a lot of blitzing. And for the
first half, we talked about it all week. It's all we talked about.
Yeah. In the first half, Brian Flores just sat back and said, you know what? We're going to see what you can do with this. And the Bears were slow to adjust and they didn't get off to the start that maybe they wanted. It's going to make this a really fascinating game on Sunday. Ben talked on Wednesday, Grody, one, about the evolution that his offense has undergone since the season opener, which, as we referenced, was a long time ago. And then he also talked about the stamina needed to face Brian Flores. Here's a bit of that exchange.
As you're getting glimpses of the season opener in your prep, what do you notice is the most marked difference between the offense you took into the season opener and the one that you're seeing now?
Well, we found out a lot about ourselves over the course of the season so far. We're a different team than we were week one, and so is Minnesota. This will be a completely different matchup as far as I'm concerned. I have the trust level is grown for a number of players with in our coaching staff. I think we really can hang our hat on a number of guys now at this point and feel really good about what we're going to get on game day. And so, and then you look at offense, you know, yeah, we're running the ball a little bit crisper and cleaner. I think the backs have a better feel for what we're asking them to do. The O-line has started to gel. I think Caleb's got a better understanding of what we're getting done. And then on defense, it's really the same thing. I think the longer you're in the scheme, the more comfortable you are in terms of what the coaches are asking to do. I think we've up front done a better job of trying to play physical and shed blocks. And that's got to show up here for the second half of the season.
Mental fatigue, you referenced going against this defense. What creates the most strain mentally?
Well, I'm sure Flo would tell you that it's not that much defense for them. But when you're on an offensive perspective, it just seems like a lot of variety of fronts and coverages and personnel groups. And so he does a good job mixing everything up. And each week's a little bit different. He has a different flavor. You know, he played us a certain way week one that was a little bit different than what maybe you would have seen the last couple of years. And then, you know, you look at the last few weeks, he changes it up. And so a lot of it's based on who he has at his disposal as well. You know, week one, they didn't have Harrison Smith. And so guys are in, they're out. You know, Van Ginkle's in and out. Grenard, you know, we'll see where he's at here this week. And so he does as good of a job as anybody, making sure he puts his guys in a good spot and keep the opposing play caller guessing.
One of the constant themes here this week, Grody, is this mental fatigue that playing Brian Flores takes on. You heard it from Ben. You heard it from Caleb. You heard it from Declan. Just this mental sharpness that's required on every snap so you understand what you're seeing and what you're about to get. And there is a stamina that comes with that psychologically. Now you have to do it in their building on the road in a noisy environment. It'll be very interesting to see how they handle that.
It can't be overstated, too, what he said at the very beginning, that in terms of you asking, like, what's different? Well, the run game. I mean, that's just like if they are coming at you, like, you can now, in theory, adjust better with your offense because you finally have a representative, if not really good, running game going right now. I also think it's interesting looking at the like some of the individual players. He mentioned Andrew Van Ginkle, who has been injured. He's played in just four games. He has two sacks. Harrison Smith will be playing. Jalen Redmond leading the Vikings right now with four sacks. Eric Wilson, 3.5 sacks. And then you get to Jonathan Grenard, who, as we're talking right now, he's dealing with a shoulder injury, just two sacks through nine games. So they're getting contributions from people you wouldn't necessarily, like from the inside. Jonathan Allen, too, 2.5 sacks from his spot. So it's spring. There's really no soft spot, and the guys that are supposed to get to the gaudy numbers haven't quite got there yet, which leaves room for improvement and interpretation for the Minnesota Vikings defense itself.
Yeah, and they're a little thin in the secondary and haven't been as sturdy there, and they haven't taken away the football the way they did a year ago. And so you look like you just said, you have to find your spots. And again, you know, we'll see what the Bears are able to come up with on Sunday and how the quarterback's able to handle whatever version of the Vikings defense he gets. And then off we go into a game that, as we referenced earlier, has got a lot at stake, and that the season will pivot, you know, a little bit based on what happens on Sunday afternoon.
Oh, we're getting real close to giving you our picks for Bears Vikings at Minnesota. But first, our best bet segment. It is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more as we welcome in the executive producer of the Take the North podcast. He is Adam Studzinski. What have ye for us this week in terms of a challenging bet about which to discuss?
All right. So
this Hi, Adam. Week-
Hi, hello. How's
Say
everyone
hi
doing?
When you come on, say hi. Don't just come in and start working.
You know,
say
trying to keep it flowing, you know. All right. That's fine. Flow. Guys. How's everyone doing?
Yeah. Good. Enough of the small talk. Go ahead.
all right, here's what we got this week. JJ McCarthy's passing yards prop over under 215.5 yards. Mm. The bet pays out -114 What do you guys think? Are you taking the over or the under on JJ McCarthy passing yards?
Grody, I'll start it. I'm taking the under. I'm taking the under because I believe more in the three quarters that the Bears played against JJ McCarthy in September than I do the fourth quarter. 56 passing yards through those first three quarters in week one. He has not gained a ton of experience since then, only three games played since then. So I'm going to take the under comfortably here as a vote of confidence in Dennis Allen and the Bears defense to change this game into a game that keeps that quarterback a little bit limited.
Oh, hi, Steve. You want to be on the Take the North podcast, too?
Everybody wants to be on.
Everybody wants to. Hey, hey.
Sure. I love podcasting. I invented podcasting.
Oh, get out of here. Get out of here. Sorry. We're trying to do a fan duel over here. You doing all right, buddy?
Yeah.
Okay. How's the Grobber book coming along?
Oh, it's great. I'm about two-thirds of the way done.
Okay. All right. All right. We'll talk more about that. Okay. The beard looks great.
We're not on the air.
Yeah. where were we? Oh, yeah. I will. And this is going to probably give away where I'm coming from in terms of my pick. 215.5. I'm going to take the over because I do believe, like last week against Baltimore, he'll be playing from behind and he's going to have JJ McCarthy, who again, 20 of 42, 248, and a loss to Baltimore. So I am going under that assumption. I am taking the over. Adam.
Okay, so I'm basing my bet off of J.J. McCarthy's games so far this year. The only game in which he's for over 160 yards this year, not just 200, 160 yards, was in that loss last week to Baltimore. Now, yes, if they are playing from behind, I think comfortably, just based on what he's done so far this season, including that game against the Bears where they came from behind, where he only threw for 143 yards.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm taking the under 200 passing yards.
Okay. Our best bet segment was brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. Good stuff, gentlemen. Studs, I think it's your turn to go first this week on our picks. Actually, I don't know if you did a pick last week. Was that the week you were doing BBM?
Yeah, I did. Right?
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, buddy.
Pretty sure I did.
Possibly remember everything you say. Bears and Vikings at Minnesota this week. What do you think, Adam Studzinski?
So based on my under 215 passing yards, it's pretty difficult to win a game like that. So I think the Bears are going to go into Minnesota and win and make life difficult for JJ McCarthy and be a game this time. McCarthy does weird things with the football sometimes. And so I think that they're going to have a couple mental by JJ McCarthy and get out of there with a win. It'll still be a division game, but I think the Bears end up winning the game 220.
What was it? Sorry, you broke up at least on my end a little bit.
Yeah,
what was
you did. It? I sure did.
You broke up.
The score.
Okay. 28-20. 28-20 Bears win.
28. Okay. That's an important, it's an important number because that's a Bears win and a Bears cover, Grody. So I'll go ahead next and I'll take the flip side of Stud's prediction. I really have waffled with this all week. I've really struggled with this game because your gut tells you that the Bears are built for these types of games right now, that their belief is growing, that they've been really good in close games. They're 4-1 down the stretch. They're also going to play Kevin O'Connell, who's been a master in one score games through his entire time coaching the Vikings. I describe this game as one of those Chicago side street speed bumps that's like a little bit oversized and you don't realize that it's as big as it is until you're on top of it. You've been doing it. You're driving down the road and then all of a sudden you're like, oh God, my car just bottomed out. And it's like, oh, that was pretty jarring. That's what this game feels like to me for the Bears. And so I ended up picking the Vikings 26-23 with little confidence. I couldn't make a confident pick in this game one way or another. Part of me always says when in doubt, you go with the better quarterback and the better head coach. I think the Bears have the better tandem there going into this game. But there's something untrustworthy about this team yet that I still need to buy into. And they've gotten away with some sloppy performances against bottom tier opponents. I think the Vikings are too good to let them off the hook if they slip up a little bit on the road on Sunday.
Okay, I have the Bears winning this game. I feel really good about this game. I have the Bears winning by 10, 27-17. I like to think about Ben Johnson in this case. And you spelled it out. His counterpart, Kevin O'Connell, is excellent as well. But the losing that first game, I think, sticks with not only Ben Johnson, but with the Bears. And I know there's only so much adjusting you can do because we've talked about it. Like Brian or the Flowers is going to flow, is going to do all sorts of different things. And he's unpredictable and all of that stuff. But I like thinking about what Ben Johnson will do differently in this game. I like thinking about the players knowing that they blew this game in the fourth quarter and to not let that happen again. I also think the Bears could very well be back to getting a couple big turnovers, maybe even a pick six. I don't like Vikings might be good still. They might end up having a good season because the bottom rarely drops out for the Vikings. I just don't think they're good right this very moment. I am picking the Bears to win, and I feel very comfortable about it.
Okay, that's going to make for a good discussion when we get to the post-game pod on Sunday night, right? When we kind of revisit what we thought and what actually happened. So it's a good week. It's a good week. This meaningful football, November, Chicago.
It's great. It's awesome. And as we're recording this, Dan and I are about to get into the locker room, which, again, much more pleasant experience for all parts involved. I absolutely love it at this point. Dan, before we get the heck out of here, anything else?
I'm just going to
meet again.
Two quick things. Full disclosure here. First of all, we changed our normal Thursday recording time to accommodate me. I've got to get off to a middle school basketball game later this afternoon. Maple Mustangs against Springman. We'll get off there and see if the Maple Mustangs can keep their groove growing. I would also like to say that you've got your mind on your football and your football on your mind, Grody. I'm glad we were able to get you refocused and recentered with where you were earlier when we started the podcast. So
thanks, I didn't say anything. You were the one reacting. I don't know what you're talking about.
Thanks for changing your timing on today's pod, and thanks for persevering. We always find a way, and that's the key. Because of the changed recording time, we obviously got guest appearance today from Tom Waddle and Steve Leventhal.
Yeah, yes, we did. We did. Absolutely. We always enjoy people wanting to be on the Take the North podcast. And yes, Dan, we spoil you to accommodate you. That's what we do. No, actually, you guys did the same for me a few weeks ago, too. So things happen. Like I say, life is a fluid situation, and the Bears are a fluid situation, and our schedules out here are a fluid situation. So it's it. That's that. And we thank everybody for listening and watching. For Dan Weider of The Athletic and frequent score contributor, for our executive producer, that's right, Dan looking at the background once again, for our executive producer, Adam Studzinski, I am Mark Grody saying thank you so much for listening to and watching the Take the North podcast.
Great talk. See you out there.
Thank you, everybody. Your Bears.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.